You know what this is?
I just drove a getaway car. I shouldn't be on surveillance.
VHS tape, the junior
VHS! Yeah. I got a TV with a VHS on it.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Those were the days.
Classic.
Right? You know what I have on VHS?
What?
Kyle Petty's Hey Buddy,
Buddy Tour! Yes! Do you really?
I do. Yeah.
I think we made $4.75 off that. That was a big, big moneymaker for us.
You know, I probably bought some nice jean shorts with money like that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say, and I'm glad you brought it up, because the socks... jamming.
Thank you.
Yeah, they were. And the t-shirt, throwback. But I'm going to say classic jorts or whatever they were. Yeah. I'm not really sure where. When your boxers hang out that much below them,
ooh.
Yeah, that was classic.
You know what we call that?
What do we call it?
Catastrophic failure.
Ah!
Let's start the show.
From the Big Oak Table, it's Wednesdays with Dale Jr. I'm Rutledge Woods, sitting next to my friend Kyle Petty. Guys, it is always a fun time to be here with
you. Yes, it is.
Only
talk about what was on the VHS tape.
Well, I mean, people will see later. I think we call that a teaser.
That was weird. You are going to see it?
I mean, yes.
I don't know, we need to.
Technology today, you will see what's on that VHS tape. It's just out of camera shot that Dale Jr. brought. Guys, first off, coming off a great week in Darlington, we want to know if you guys have questions for Dale Jr., use that hashtag right down there, Wednesdale. It feels weird because you're taking Wednesday and changing it to Wednesdale, but then once you do it, it feels so right.
Yeah.
I promise. Guys, anything, I'm trying to think, anything in the news
that
we should talk about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anything going on?
Slow week.
Did you get a haircut or anything?
No, not yet.
I just remembered. I saved a bunch of money on my car insurance. No.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, so there we go.
Yeah. Guys, so turns out some big news this week. It turns out there are multiple reports that the 78 team of Furniture Row Racing is packing it up. Now, there's a lot of different pieces here that go along. First off, there's a ton of people on that team that are suddenly looking to find another team to move to next year. So obviously we're thinking about them because there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of families involved there. But also what that means is what's going to happen with Martin Truex Jr. And certainly a lot of people are wondering what happens with Cole Pearn. For you guys, with these multiple reports and where they're going, are these two going to stay together? And is that a big deciding difference of where they end up?
You know, it'll be fun to see how loyal they are to each other, but I think that you want to keep them together, and I think that they would like to stay together. I think that they both complement each other really well. A lot of people are going to, you know, think that Cole Pearn may be the bigger piece of that puzzle, but I would think that that would be underestimating Martin Truex Jr. and what he brings to the table as a driver. Yeah. The one thing about Martin Truex Jr. is not only is he great behind the wheel, but he's great, you know, from out behind the wheel during the week. I mean, this guy does everything you need from a sponsor standpoint, marketable guy. And so, you know, he's not got a lot of baggage, doesn't cause a lot of problems, isn't in the media, you know, creating storms every week. So, real easygoing guy. When I work with drivers in the Xfinity Series, it's like... you know, it's awesome when they're easy to work with.
For
outside.
Sure.
All of them want to go race, all of them want to go win. But the ones that are easy to work with out of the car are even better. And so that's turnkey in Martin Truex Jr. You're going to get a championship driver that's great outside the car. And I think they complement each other really well. I hope they stick together. When I heard the rumblings about this months ago, you know, the potential that team could be going away, that was my initial thought, is like, man, these two need to stay together with what they've been able to build. And one of the things that is difficult with drivers and crew chiefs is kind of figuring out what the driver likes. And Cole knows Cole knows those things.
Yeah.
He can go no matter where they go, if they go to Joe Gibbs or wherever. He can go right into that organization and build a car around Martin Truex Jr. that's going to be competitive and fast right out of the gate. It doesn't take, you know, if you change that up, it's going to take the new crew chief or the new driver a while to learn what's going on and what they like. So I think that would be the best for them two guys to stick together wherever they go.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. I do agree because I think there's times in a driver's career where you and the crew chief are one.
And you just, I'm sorry that didn't happen with you and Steve Letarte. But joke. That's a joke. I joke. But and we've gone through a lot of, you had different crew chiefs. I had different crew chiefs. When you see two guys, a crew chief and a driver mesh like that, you say, yeah, man, you got to do everything you can as an owner to keep those guys together. Yeah. Now, my concern is this. I love Martin Truex. He fits in. You can plug him in any puzzle. Just take him, put him at Hendrick, put him at Gibbs, put him at Penske. He just fits. Cole Pearn, my T-shirt hoodie-wearing friend, he's a little bit like me. While everybody's going that way, he's going off over here to find his way back. And I couldn't fit in every organization. I know I couldn't. So how does a Cole Pearn go to a starch shirt, creased pants, Joe Gibbs organization? Because we're here and he's going to the 19. And that hurts me for my man Daniel Suarez, because I am a huge Daniel Suarez fan. And hopefully there's something there. We don't know all the pieces, but that's what we're hearing. But, I mean, how do you see, and I'll throw this back to you, how do you see a guy that outlier there who has been so successful fitting into something like that?
Well, I think he'll be...
You own a team. That's why I'm saying that.
I think that the team would make adjustments to allow Cole to be the individual he is. And I think, too, that payday that Cole would have coming is also going to make, you know...
Yeah.
It's going to ask of him to make adjustments fit into that
good box,
right?
Yeah.
I think everybody would be willing to flex a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, with his ability to take that team and create what he was able to create, I think that, you know, teams would be able to take a little bit of his individuality. He may even be, you know, a spark to some of the other crew chiefs and some of the other people in the building.
And maybe create a little change.
Get those guys thinking outside the box themselves a little bit. You just never know what kind of ideas and things that he might bring to the table. That was the good thing about bringing a new crew chief in, was he's going to bring all new ideas. And so they've worked with, end up at Gibbs, they know him pretty well. You know, they know what they're getting. And so I think it would work really well there. Now, if he goes somewhere else, it'd be a little different story. But, I think that if he goes to Gibbs, they kind of know exactly what kind of crew chief he is.
The crazy thing, that there are all these pieces, and we hear different stuff. Like you said, you heard this rumblings of this months ago. It's not a lot of times that you would hear about a team winning a championship and then folding, because there had been mentions of maybe he goes to the 41 or maybe this moves. And still, we're hearing multiple reports that says he's going to the 19. We haven't heard anything that is totally confirming that yet. But the interesting thing, you sit there and go, okay, here's a guy, Daniel Suarez, who is a champion, right? Who has international appeal, young guy, tons of energy. And I have to think that wasn't necessarily everyone's first thought of that's who should be getting out of the seat. But I think with those four-team caps that you've got, I'm not sure if Gibbs felt like they have a lot of other solutions. I personally, if you were talking to me for a business owner, I don't think I would want to turn away the youthful appeal that Daniel has and that quality. I don't think that's where I would maybe look that first one. But I also don't know right now, are those other teams who are thinking about Martin a few weeks ago, suddenly, is this escalating those things? Are we possibly seeing, like, is everybody thinking, no, he'll be at the 19, but we could all be totally wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it,
we're guessing. Let's be honest. Okay. It's 7 days from now, nobody's going to remember this show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the news, this is a different news cycle. 24 hours. Yeah, so
we just know what's been thrown on the table, right? And we don't know everything that's been thrown on the table. It's just like, and we can look at it a lot of different ways, and you can say, this works perfect. And you convince yourself that's what's going to happen. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, yeah, that works perfect too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't.
Gibbs has had to make this type of decision 2 years in a row now with bringing in Eric Jones and moving out Kenseth. It's a very, very challenging decision to make for Joe Gibbs Racing, but it's also a good problem to have. So much talent, so much opportunity that they don't have race cars for everybody.
And they had the same problem with Carl Edwards, right? When Carl decided he was going to step away, you suddenly go, wait.
But he did it different then. When he said when Carl stepped away at the last minute, he had Daniel and he had Eric. So we slide in. This is a champion driver. He was our 2017 champion. That's our champion crew chief, a 2017 champion. I mean, that's totally different than Carl saying, I'm going away.
Right.
Who can I shuffle?
Have
How
you
can
ever
I do
seen
it?
Something like that happen in the sport where someone won the championship so
I'm
quickly and then took off?
Not this Dale.
Not me, but my father, yeah.
Yeah.
So Dad wins a championship in 1980 with Rod Osterlin, and then midway through the next season, Osterlin sells the team right out from under everyone to J.D. Stacy. So, and that's just one scenario that's sort of similar, where a successful owner decides, hey, this is a deal too good to be true. I'm going to move out. And Dale, you and your guys are going to work with this other guy that is a complete stranger. You know, so that was a difficult situation for Dad, which ultimately led him to change rides and go to RCR in the middle of the season, like two races later.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing that I'm most excited about is not obviously it's going to be interesting where Martin ends up, where Cole ends up, but what dominoes does this start to knock down? Where you know we'll have to understand what that does mean for Daniel and beyond. You know, we're hearing rumblings throughout the garage of other driver changes and teams looking for drivers as well. So I think that this could be one of the craziest silly seasons that we've had in a really long time with a lot of driver changes and teams changing personnel. So.
Yeah, because you threw people back on the table and you took a team away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you took a team. And Barney Visser has meant a lot to this sport. I mean, from 2005 when he showed up with Kenny Wallace and they ran and you know, from Regan Smith winning a race with him and Kurt Busch and all. I mean, he put in the time. He climbed the mountain. He got the trophy. He just didn't want to play anymore. That's what it appears.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's his prerogative. I look at, as we look at, and you talk about your dad and talk about Australia, personnel-wise, I go back to 1981, right along in there, when Kel Yarborough and Tim Brewer and Harold Elliott all escaped Ingle Holler, North Carolina, and went to MC Anderson's to run. They had finished second to your dad in 1980 in the championship, that group. And that was basically a championship team because they had won multiple championships together with Cale at Junior Johnson's. And they went down there and ran a limited schedule. And they kept those guys together. And they had success. MC built that team into a team that could contend week in and week out everywhere they went. Didn't make any difference. So personnel-wise, it's a little bit like that, trying to keep a team together. But, man, it's strange when a team gets to the top and then says, planted my flag, see you guys later.
Yeah. And it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around it because we thought, they're just going to keep going. When you have this success, they're out driving the company that's supplying them of the materials of which they're driving. Like a lot of people didn't see. What does that mean for someone like Daniel, though, who is getting closer and closer to that first win, who has performed, who is a champion? You know, with rides like the 95 out there possibly changing manufacturers, there's so many different pieces.
Depends on where you end up.
Yeah.
I think it just depends on where you end up.
I mean, until we know exactly where, what's going to happen with that 19, I hate to even make,
That's right.
I don't even want to have to think about Daniel because, we've just had him on the show. Great guy.
Yeah.
He belongs in a competitive car. He's shown his ability to, make that work, and he's starting to really kind of get some traction where he's at right now. Just had a great run at Pocono, and so I almost don't even want to think about like the repercussions of what that does for Daniel until you have to, until it's confirmed that Martin goes into the 19. But they may already have a contract signed.
Sure, that's right.
That's right.
Like Martin Truex Jr. and Cole Pearn could already have an agreement on the table that we don't know.
Yeah.
But there could, another thing that could be happening is that now people see that they are available. There could
one
be
one or both.
There could be a bidding war for these guys
that
could be going on under the table that we don't know about. Yeah. So we'll just need to be patient and wait and see how it plays out.
Like you say, it might get... Catastrophic crazy.
It would be. I hope Martin has a good therapist because it's like that old saying, always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah.
Each team my man's been at ends up turning the lights off. And after a while, you're like, guys, whoa, is it me? Is it something I said? I hope not. I hope it's just timing. But
the one thing, the one thing that'll be the hardest for those guys is to try to maintain their focus.
Yeah.
they're one of the big three.
That's right.
You know,
2 weeks ago, we're calling them the big three. Today, yeah. we're calling them hasta la vista, baby. Yeah. I'm out of business.
Signs in the yard.
How crazy is that? That 2 weeks ago, they are the big three.
I know a lot of people are going to assume that, you know, they could fall off in performance just because it would be tough to focus. I see it another way. Them guys being a satellite team all the way up there, it's a last hurrah.
Yeah.
They may...
Just put it all on the line, right?
They may because also come out with guns blazing.
If they feel like they're auditioning, if they're trying to audition for a job next year, every crew guy, every you know, shock specialist, interior, if you come off as a champion,
they're not auditioning. You know what they can do.
Yeah,
I mean, it's true. Yeah, you know what these guys can do.
I think it could be actually the opposite. Instead of them sort of falling off a little bit because of this being a... You know, this occupying their mind and their thoughts. I think it might be the other way around, where they
open up a can.
Yeah, open a can up.
My granddad used to have this. My granddad used to have this saying: "You can't play poker with a crazy man."
Hmm.
Okay, they may be crazy enough right now to just put it all on the line and just go, and they're going to be hard to guard.
True that. Coming up, Kevin Harvick revealed last night on his radio show that he is stepping away from the Xfinity Series. Did this incident with Ross Chastain and Darlington have anything to do with that? We'll hear what Harvick said when we come back.
NASCAR America is brought to you by Mobil 1 Annual Protection. Proven protection for 20,000 miles.
The Verizon IndyCar Series is on NBCSN as the sun sets. On a memorable season, can Scott Dixon hold off American Alexander Rossi and capture his fifth championship? The Grand Prix of Sonoma, Sunday, September 16th on NBCSN.
Well done, Fred.
Well done.
You're really getting good at these promo reads. Do you guys want to take a little trip back? Let's take a trip back. Let's just go back to Saturday night's Xfinity race at Darlington. 36 laps to go. Ross Chastain battling Kevin Harvick for the lead. And then this magic happens. Both cars wreck, costing both drivers a chance at the win.
The two-day schedules and my family and all the things that came up this year just because of, you know, the way that the schedules worked out and the races that I chose, I just needed to focus on my cup car and the things that are happening there. So it's not to say that I won't run one here or there just to, you know, if we have a sponsor or somebody who needs something or there's a new racetrack that's intriguing. But, you know, I think for me, there's no more planned Xfinity races. That'll be the last one.
So that was Kevin talking on his SiriusXM radio show. And I'll be honest, I used to have a lot of fun at college football tailgates. And sometimes if I felt like people weren't appreciating my dancing, I would say, I am never going to dance at this tailgate again.
Not in these shorts.
Not today.
Not in these shorts.
Is that what we heard?
Did you come back and dance?
You know I did.
You know he did.
So in that vein, is Kevin saying, you guys don't appreciate that I'm going out here putting on a show? I'm just going to take a little time for me. Or is he saying, yeah, I thought about it. I got so much crap for racing Saturday and what happened. I'm just not interested in any more of that.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that he knew, he obviously knows his schedule way beforehand. So this is something that he has probably, you know, this is something that he was eventually going to say, regardless of what happened on the racetrack at Darlington. Hey, I'm not going to build a 5 or 10 race schedule anymore. I'm not gonna try to obtain the sponsorship to run these type of races.
Sure.
The one thing that I know about Kevin Harvick, and I think he mentioned it in there, is that he is a savvy businessman. He's really smart about how to network and maximize the sponsor opportunities that he gets. Most of the sponsors, some of the sponsors at least, that he has cultivated from running Xfinity races.
Yeah.
Through those Xfinity race relationships, grew those into full-time or part-time Cup Series sponsorships. So he understands the value in being able to run those Xfinity races when those can be placed into packages that work for him to be able to build those sponsorships. So, and he says it just as much in those words.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to run a race if it makes sense.
If it makes sense.
For a sponsorship package. That's really all I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm running a race this year at Richmond for Hellman's. And Hellman's is going to also sponsor additional races on one of the other cars. That's why I run that race.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have a little fun while I do it.
You know, why not? As long as I'm...
I don't think he's saying sour grapes like, man, I don't want to play anymore because of what happened last week. It is interesting, the timing.
Right, because that's a lot of people see that timing and wonder.
The timing is interesting. But the other thing that he said there that caught me that I don't believe I heard before was with these 2 day shows.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to focus on your car. You don't. Yeah. We don't have the luxury of going in and practicing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When it's a 2 day show and it's practice, qualify, impound, see you Sunday, come back and run. It's a different game. It's a different game, and it's a different game for the crew chiefs. It's a different game for the drivers. Now, he knows that.
Yeah.
He knows that's what it's been. So, and I agree. I don't think he just sat down and said, oh, that happened Saturday. This is my decision. I think it's been...
I think it's too big. There's too much planning to get these races together for him to just go, you know what, I didn't like what happened Saturday and how all that went down. Oh, yeah. I'm done. And see how y'all like that.
Right.
I think that... You know, I think that he's probably interested in the reaction from everyone.
Yeah, sure.
That news. You know, he certainly is probably curious about how people took that bit of news.
Yeah.
He's taking down everybody's name that's cheering.
Right. And he's remembering everybody's name.
Cheering. Let's be honest. It was cheering, not cheering.
Yeah. Cheering. Yeah.
So
I got you.
It was such a cool thing to sit with you on the Peacock pit box and get to just watch that race with you. That was such a cool thing. And you kept tapping on the screen every time Harvick would go by because you're like, my man's going to the front. Yeah. And it is so exciting, honestly, to watch Harvick on any racetrack. Yeah. He gets out there and he puts it all out. And especially on a Saturday afternoon like that, it's a great show. And I think that's what I think fans will take away going like, well, I mean, on one side, we get the whole, we don't think Cup drivers should maybe race as much. Yeah. But also they go, but I do want to see Harvick race on a Saturday. I want to see Kyle Busch go at it with
him. I'll say this on that. I like the Cup guys in the series a limited amount. I like the rules we have today. Yeah. They're also continuing to make rules for next year as far as the points fund goes that should help some of the regular teams, at least the regular series teams that finished up toward the front. I feel like if you remove the Cup guys completely, that it would be a detriment to the series long term.
Yeah.
It'd be similar to the ARCA series.
Yeah.
Too similar to the ARCA series.
Agreed.
And how well?
Agree. I'm going to say this. I think it would be detrimental to the series and to the drivers because I think no matter what you want to say and no matter what Ross Chastain says, he learned something. He learned something from Kevin Harvick.
I can't deny.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And
you learn something racing against people that are better than you, that have more experience. You get that little bit of knowledge, and then you take it back to your game, to your yard, and you play, and you try it on your guys and see if it works.
Yeah.
And then when you have that opportunity to jump the Cup, then you already know a little bit about what the game is. And it is a huge gut jump already from Xfinity to Cup.
I think that I can't deny that I learned a lot from Mark Martin when I raced in the series. I'd never like to see it go back to the mid 2000s when we had 15 guys running in Charlotte. I wouldn't want to compete against that as a regular owner in the series. I definitely love the change that when they took the Cup guys out of the ability to run for the championship.
Yeah.
That give us something to shoot for and aim for every year. It completely changed the demographic of our team and our company going forward. So there's been a lot of great changes that have, you know, as far as the limitations for the Cup guys that has helped our company. And but to take them out completely, I think, would be a huge mistake.
Yeah. And let's give props. The reason that we know how impressive Ross Chastain was is because he held Harvick off for so long. He led that race in front of Cup drivers. It was awesome to watch. Coming up, Sunday's race at Indy will be the 25th running of the Brickyard 400. We'll discuss some of our favorite moments that took place on the famed Yard of Bricks. Wednesdays with Dale Jr. We'll be right back.
There's just an energy, and there's always been an energy about the Speedway there that you can feel people that have been there in the past that aren't with us anymore. You sense that there's something else going on other than what's physically happening on that day. I mean, you know there's other people there that have been there in the past. And it's just a place that has such a deep history that it's just bigger than whatever's going on and whatever you're there for that day, the Speedway is just bigger than that.
25 years at the Brickyard.
Doesn't seem like
it. Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't, seem right? Like, that's crazy. You were there. Were you there for the first test?
Yes.
What, do you have some fond memories of that first test? I bet you do.
You know what? It was a lot of fun. You know, but I'm going to say this, And what Tony said, the ghost of people. I felt like you were walking into somebody else's church and you didn't belong there. You know what I mean? Because this was for Open Wheel. Tony George said it best. We're going here. We're not belittling the old tradition. We're starting new. You're pointing at the grass, how
they're
close it is?
Yeah, I'm watching them like they're right okay, next look, to the grass. There.
Okay, here's the deal.
Look at you, man. You're getting
here's the funny part. I'll tell you a story.
Right there. What are you doing?
Here, I'll tell you a story
are
later about the grass.
For
but
test?
It was so much fun. They had 20, 30, 40,000 people there. I videoed it. I put a camera in the car, took an old spark plug box, and mounted the spark plug box, tie wrapped it to the roll bar, took my video camera, mounted it on top, and right here. And this is the best part. When you get to the corners, you'd pull so many G's that the tape, it was a little VH, little small tape, the tape would run off the reel a little bit, and then it would come back
was
on.
Was it necessary that you look through the lens to make sure you were filming what you needed
yes,
to film?
Yes, you did that. You
that
didn't have to do
that. Bill.
Come on, people, it's 25 years.
If you held it right here,
no way.
You would have never got.
This is, listen, it's not a flipping camera. It's not a freaking phone here, people.
Out here, you'd have never captured your intended target.
So it's so easy to make fun of somebody 25 years later. I see how
you make it pretty easy.
Honest question. Was your hair like, were those. Your hair
we're
is
not
almost
going to the
glowing,
hair. Listen,
but it's like a different shade.
Yeah.
Was it like, did you use sun in?
We always see it pulled back so tight. If you let it turn it loose, does it go back? Does it?
No, here's the problem. If I pull
it, look at that.
Yeah, it does, oh my gosh, but it's gorgeous. The problem is I pull it back tight because if I drop it, my whole face drops. It's like a facelift thing.
So what happened to you in the car there? How would you say your first Brickyard race. Was that your first one?
No, it wasn't my first one. I'm gonna tell you my Brickyard story. So you saw the grass.
Right.
We used that grass up. We used that grass. You'd drop your left front and it'd help the car turn. So, and it's kind of like the story you told about the big bar versus small bar and your dad. So, and it's like, it'd make the car turn. So the morning of one of the races that we were up there, I wrecked real hard in this race, but the morning they brought in these ripple strips and put along the edge and they put these, look like croquet wickets, yeah. These round things over. So race started. We started running down over those ripple strips, throwing those pieces of metal up in the racetrack and blowing tires. Jeff Gordon blew tire. God, I mean, everybody. There were a lot of people. So I'm running second to Johnny Benson. I go into turn four. Spalding Marlin's behind me. I blow a right front tire. I hit. Sterling hits me right there. Throttle hangs. I'm knocked out right here. I hit the outside. Then I come back across and hit the inside. Okay? Hit the inside. Look how narrow the front of that car is. Okay, I'm knocked out. I am knocked out in that car. So I'm laying there. See me on the ground right here? See, they roll the thing over. So I'm knocked out in this car, Dale. And my head's down in my lap and my arms are down and I can't move anything. When Sterling hit me, it drove the left front tire up on the manifold on the top of the engine and the throttle hung. So it went back and gained speed. So I'm knocked out and you're laying there in the car and it's like, you're beginning to wake up, you know, like you've had surgery. You're beginning to wake up, and I just start praying. I start praying that I'm alive. You know what I mean? And I keep trying to move my legs and my hands. And I can't move anything, and I'm praying. And finally, I realize I can't move my hands and I can't move my legs. So I'm not alive. So then I start praying, please, God, when I open my eyes, let me be standing at the pearly gates. And then I hear Sterling talking. Mm-hmm. And I know if Sterling's there and I'm dead, we ain't in heaven. We ain't in heaven, dude. Sterling was not on the fast track for heaven. I'm not saying Sterling wasn't either. So then I start praying out loud. So they cut the top off, they pick me up, and they lay me on the ground. You saw me on the ground there on the backboard. Sterling tells the rest of the story. I'm on the backboard. Sterling said they started to pick me up. When they picked me up, I screamed like a girl. I had a neck brace on. They had my arms tied up on me, all this stuff. You know, those little styrofoam neck brace things they make you wear with the thing. So Sterling said, they picked me up. I screamed like a girl. They set me down. They picked me up. I screamed like a girl. They set me down. Sterling said, hey, if you'll quit standing on his ponytail, he'll quit screaming. The guy was standing on my hair, and every time he picked me up,
they just yank you.
I screamed like a girl. He picked me up. They threw me in the thing, took me off. I had like 6 broke ribs. Dislocated shoulder, broken scapula. I mean, I was beat all to pieces, man. It narrowed the right front frame rail. I think it brought it in 6 inches, and the left front frame rail it brought in almost 5. The car was like this.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I'm sure glad you're here to tell that story.
Yes, I am too, because I was not going to be in heaven at that point in time in my life, man. That was going to be a rough road.
That's tough. I hope you guys watch that story later and relive it, because that's pretty fantastic. Hey, as we head for Indy, it's time for you, the fans, to make your voice heard, because it is time for the most popular driver. That's right, the polls are open for the awards in each of NASCAR's top three series for most popular driver. Now through November 27th, you can vote once a day at NASCAR.com/mostpopulardriver. The award winner for the Monster Energy Cup Series will be announced at the postseason banquet November 29th in Las Vegas, which you can watch here on NBCSN. Now, based on what we've seen this season, I think we know who's the favorite to win the award. And judging by this tweet, Bubba Wallace knows, too. He's already wished Chase Elliott congrats.
And if we know Chase Elliott, that makes him extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes. Like, okay, yes. Guys, just be cool. Just hey, be man. Cool. I'm going to let it be a surprise.
You never assume anything.
Right? Yeah. Never.
That's the way I see those tweets. I've seen them from a couple drivers today. Parker Klingerman even said something. But it makes you incredibly uncomfortable because that's something that you never assume.
Yeah,
you know,
says
you never
the guy
go,
that won it 15
I know, but
times
I would never. No,
but you won it so many times, but you never said, oh, it's going to come next year.
Yeah, you never, you never like, oh, yeah, it's all mine, buddy. You know, you just never did. And I can't wait to be there. Yeah. I'm going to be there at the banquet, and I hope to be able to congratulate
That'd
somebody.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. I just like anytime seeing Dale Jarrett in a suit.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking dude, y'all. He just makes it look like he is ringing a bell. Well, it's almost time to see what you guys fans have on your minds. If you've got something you want to say, just make sure to use the hashtag Wednesdale. We'll answer your questions when we come back.
NASCAR America is brought to you by Mobile One Annual Protection. Proven protection for 20,000 miles.
Go figure. You show up late, you crash the party, steal
the
chips.
Chair.
If you come to the racetrack and you're not wearing a racing shirt, you're a closet Kyle Busch fan.
I want to give a shout out to your super fan, Tati, from Oxford, England.
Hey,
heard
England.
Her on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
That was you.
That's my wife.
Pretty, I know.
His arms or my legs? Which one's wider?
Which is wider?
Mine, my leg.
Okay.
I win.
All right, you win.
They've never seen the sun. They're like black lights.
Dargan.
And then your friend?
I'm Kurt.
I am Kurt. Oh, no.
Joey let that.
Oh, yes, he did.
Did it. Oh, I feel like we have to stay here to see what happens.
It's hot.
Okay. We'll be coming to you guys from the Infield Care
is
Center or the restroom, whichever comes first.
Hey, didn't Burton say he would give you $100 if you ate that?
I think
somebody
it was
did.
You and the other
no,
Dale.
Was it me?
There was, I definitely
there
heard
was money
a Dale.
Somewhere from somebody.
At least $100.
Yes.
You don't recall that at all?
No.
Really? Whew, that pepper was hot, y'all. The key is I was on fire and I didn't
you know
hear
why
you say.
It was so funny that Joey didn't remember
that his wife made up a character.
Remember, he made the mistake in one of his speeches at the banquet about his wife.
I forgot he got
he
her.
He called
name.
Her fiance. Or
yeah.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I can't
yes.
remember exactly what it was.
Great
it
call.
Was a big slip.
That is
Joey.
A huge
slip.
Appreciate you watching, buddy. Hey, it's time for the fan questions. You know what? Maybe some of those Darlington fans sent us questions today. So let's get in
probably
there.
Probably not. They're probably still in the infield at Darlington.
Well, everybody use the hashtag okay. Wednesday. We appreciate you. Jerry said, what if a sponsor
appreciate you.
Shows up while all this is going on with Martin Truex Jr.? Does the team still close down?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I imagine that they would, if a sponsor showed up, they might reverse course. Yeah. Barney.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Barney that.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. You ever heard the phrase, the signs in the yard? Our friend George Flanagan's heard that one. The signs in the yard, meaning we're
going
to put the house up for sale. The signs in the yard.
Yeah.
It's possible we might not move, but the signs in the yard, we mean it. We mean business. This house is going to sell. So
welcome to this week's edition of Realty Jokes.
Yep, we got more of those.
Mr. Realtor.
It was
over
never
here.
About a house, was it? It was never about a house. It's possible. It's totally possible.
Yeah.
Jerry, if you've got millions of dollars and you want to sponsor
call him up, Jerry.
Martin Truex Jr.,
call him up, Jerry.
You can save this, buddy. We believe in you. Sean, his question for Wednesdale. What 1990 to 1994 throwback scheme
good Lord.
Do you want to see?
Bit,
he really did.
Yeah.
On the track at Darlington next year. Me personally would love to see Alan Quickie Hooters car next year.
1990 to 94. I mean, that's pretty specific.
Yeah.
I wonder why he went.
That's a B-roll.
Particular years.
That's too specific. Let's take a look. That was a beautiful car.
Right, now that we're looking at this footage, I'm going to try to find a car that I like.
Yeah, find one.
Because I can't remember what you like.
I don't know either. I raced then, and I can't remember what they look like.
You know one car that I like, but I don't remember exactly what year it was, but the Keystone Light car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Keystone Light.
Keith.
Yeah.
Keith Stone.
The 16.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Wally Dallenbach.
I like Handsome Harry Gantt stuff, man.
I just like
that simple skull.
I like cars with like the faded number.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you can't have the chrome number anymore, faded number is kind of cool.
That's a great
car. I'll tell you what car never bring back. Never bring back that chrome car to the Daryl run.
Never bring that back.
Never bring that back.
Yeah, it was awful.
I hated that.
Daryl loves it.
He loves that car.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Loves that car. I mean, he tweets about that car once a month.
He's probably going to text
you. He's probably watching. Is he watching? Remember when he was watching us before?
Yeah.
That's why I threw it out there.
Oh, I love this stuff. You guys. John wanted to know, you think maybe Kenny Wallace and Justin Allgaier could convince you guys to have a little fun racing in the dirt? You know those guys love a little dirt racing. And they did build a dirt track at Indy.
Did you run much dirt?
I didn't. I mean, I did not run any dirt. I remember the only time I ran dirt was with you at Kenny Schrader's dirt track.
Oh.
And me and you both ran last.
Yes, I did.
I was behind.
I didn't run dirt.
I had no idea.
I didn't run dirt either. My dad bought a car from Hall Sellington and said, go run dirt. I went to like six races and said, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do it.
It's just too much. You're getting too much stuff in your hair, or what?
I just no good at it.
I ran some dirt legends races. Yeah. They had a dirt track off the back of Charlotte-Mere Speedway.
Oh yeah.
Way back, and I'd run there, and I was the first driver in the history of legends cars to actually put a new front clip on his car. So. I crashed at the dirt track and was the first Legends car driver to bend the front clip and need a car clip.
Wow.
I took my car. I worked at Allison Brothers, who used to build Legends cars back then. I worked there, and I'm like, I got to put a clip in my car. Have we ever done that? And they're like, no, we don't know.
No one's ever done that before.
We're trying to put a clip on one.
Yeah. Whoa.
So,
no way, dude.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, my gosh.
I do think it's going
to
be
cool. They weren't wrecking hard enough to bend the front clips then.
Right. Yeah. You're like, hold this. Let me show you guys how it's done.
Things you never thought you'd hear. They're not wrecking hard enough, people. Yeah.
You were too young. It was like, hold my soda. Hey, cool thing is they are going to race at Indy this week. Wouldn't it be great? What if they could build like a short track right there inside
Indy?
That'd
be a great idea.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, you could have like or I wish you could just find another one that's like close by. Wouldn't that be amazing? Hey, guess what? We're going to show you what's on that VHS tape when we get back. Shout out to IRP.
Isn't a celebration like what you have when you win at the Brickyard. There's no better feeling than winning at the Brickyard.
Our coverage from Indianapolis begins Friday with a special event, USAC Midget Racing on the dirt track at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's going to be awesome. Then it's back to the asphalt Saturday with the Xfinity Series, and Sunday the Cup Series playoff field is set in the Brickyard 400. You don't want to miss any of that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it right here.
Can we tell the story?
First off, before you tell the story, tell me where you found
this VHS
tape at your house. Start there.
I was thinking about what's on this tape. It just came to mind, and I went, I need to digitize this. So I brought it over to the studio, and some of the guys here got together and put it on this stick for me.
Thanks, Justin.
And, yes, thank you.
Right. And so Kyle Petty's on this tape, and I was just wondering if Kyle knew that he was on the tape or knew what was on the tape. So you're about to see what's on the tape. I dug it out of my basement, and I'm gonna probably try to.
You know what?
This is gonna be spectacular.
Yeah. Let's
I can
take
tell
a look. Just brought to us by Thomas.
Oh, what year is this? What year?
This is 2001.
Look there,
ponytail.
I am.
Ponytail.
There I am.
Okay, so here's the race.
Here's
car
Junior in the 8 car. Where am I?
Kyle, you're right there on the nose
of
my car.
Oh, that's me spinning around.
Watch out, Kyle. Watch out, buddy.
Isn't this a charity race?
Yes, this was a charity race. This is a charity race between the drivers and there were crew members in the race.
Yes, that's right. There were crew guys up there.
And
that's
Kyle, right. Kyle, I was a little nervous about telling you what was on this tape because the, that incident had you very angry with me.
What?
Yeah, he came up.
Why? Angry?
Yeah. Here, you guys seem fine. We're having a great time.
We're wearing the same color uniforms.
He comes up and says, we're at a charity race having fun. Don't turn me in front of the field on the back straightaway.
You said, I'll show you.
And I said, I'm here to win. Charity race. Whatever.
Did you win?
I did win the race.
Don't worry about that poor guy's car just tore up.
If I hadn't won the race, I would not have the VHS tape in my basement.
Of course not.
Excellent.
Because then, like, what good is that tape if you finish second? Yeah. It's not. Right. No one keeps that.
Did you do a lot of those?
No, boy.
That was the only one I ever did.
Was it really?
Yeah. I'm like going out on top.
Yep.
charity race champion.
Yes.
One charity race.
Yep.
I'll dump this guy, and then I'll hang it up.
Yeah, I thought it was serious. And it wasn't.
Yeah, we were never serious.
This was Saturday night before the race at Watkins Glen. He's like, you know, our goal is to race Sunday. So like, we need to get there.
We're just having fun here. That was a fun night.
It was a fun night.
Those fans, when you come into a place like that, and you know it, local fans, when they come and they see Dale Jr. run or Kyle Petty at the time, or Michael Waltrip, or any of those local, any Cup guys that they see on Sunday at their local track.
What a novel idea.
I'm glad that
it's cool.
Did not get T-boned. That would have been terrible. I felt bad.
If that was your 12 car, we don't know your name right now, but we're going to give you a pre-shout-out.
17. He didn't even know the numbers.
Hey, man, these glasses are to make me look cool. I can't see
They're
a
obviously
thing.
Obviously not prescription.
They obviously are not. Hey, coming up, we've got shout-outs. And last week at Darlington, we saw all sorts of throwback looks, but one guy in particular may have topped them all. It's part of our shout-outs. They're coming up next. Time now to make a social pit stop. Kyle Larson took the checkered flag in the Outlaw Kart Showcase last night at Cycleland Speedway. Kyle and I have been around there.
That's the track
you and I went to. It was awesome, wasn't it?
He kicked my butt at that place also.
He continued it on. The IndyCar Series announced that Robert Wickens is the 2018 Rookie of the Year. We, of course, send our best wishes to Robert, who continues to recover from his injury sustained in the Pocono race last month. And the Indianapolis Motor Speedway announced that the Grand Marshals for the BC 39 dirt track event taking place today and tomorrow are Dan Gurdes and Dan Alexander. They both receive life-saving organ donations from the late, great Brian Clausen. How cool is that?
That is cool.
Awesome.
That is
shout really out to cool. BC. Really we love cool. you, brother.
Yes.
Hey, guess what? It's time for real shout outs. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready.
Shout outs.
I'm going first. My first shout out is to Chip Weil, Kerry Tharp, all the people at Darlington Motor Speedway. Chip Weil brought this idea up to do the throwback weekend. It was a five-year plan. My concern was after the 5 years, it would be over with.
Yeah.
But NASCAR has deemed this the official throwback weekend in NASCAR for the next several decades.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Good.
It was amazing.
The whole sports embraced it. Kerry Tharp and his team did an amazing job.
Yes.
Getting Darlington ready for that weekend. So thank you guys.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
That's good.
What about you? Okay, shout out.
My shout out is, yours is to the Speedway. Mine's to all the teams and all those guys, too, because I think they do a tremendous job. Wood Brothers especially. Those guys brought it from day one. But their guy, Glenn Plake, came with the Wood Brothers here. And Mr. Mohawk here, Glenn Plake, extreme skier. Met him when I did some stuff with No Fear. Shout out to Glenn Plake. And also, I'm going to add a little shout out here. Shout out to all you people that tweeted me that you hate my man bun. I don't really care. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. But a shout out to you anyhow. Thank you guys very much.
There it is. It was so high
shout
and tight.
Shout out, people.
It was amazing the other night.
Shout out to all you people on Twitter. There we go.
It was amazing. My shout out's a little different. I do want to give some love to all the college kids that came out. And fellas, don't stop wearing those jorts just because the people I work with are nervous by them.
Yeah, there was a big college group of...
It was amazing. Yeah.
I didn't see that area, but I heard it was pretty.
Great time. And everybody that welcomed me in the stands, I had a great time over there with you. I want to give some love to do-it-yourselfers. You know, a lot of people realize Comcast Xfinity is the way to go, and sometimes you got to figure out how to ditch the dish. God. Take a look.
Whoa. Hit it.
Hit it, buddy. Bust the back window.
Hit a have landed in the bed.
Right? Oh, that would have been points.
There's no way. Oh, this guy nailed it. You guys, I had a great time.
I did. That was a fun show.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
I can't wait to go home and watch the rest of this tape.
But you keep winning.
We know how it ends, right?
Those are the ones you like to keep watching.
No matter what happens, it's going to be a very similar outcome, which is the great news. But for real, y'all, the stands are packed at Darlington.
Yes, they were.
It was so cool. We had so much fun to be out there. If anybody wants to know what the secret to NASCAR is, it's to embrace the past, bring it to the present, and have fun.
Listen, when you go to Darlington, and you were spot on your shout-out, and you've got college kids and Hall of Famers all in the same place. For our sport, that's a huge, huge day.
Yeah.
It's a party.
Hey, remember, this was my first weekend on a parade float. We went
That's exactly right. Mr. Parade.
We did the Darlington Parade.
Shout out to you.
That's
a
lot of fun.
Being on the parade float.
Throwing candy to all those kids.
It's a year of firsts, man. We are so proud of you. The things that you've done with us.
I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. But y'all were like, you got to do it. It was great.
And if you're wondering, if you're watching MRN, I don't know if you guys even have televisions because you're all radio. You guys are going down next year. Let's take one more look at this amazing race. Thanks for joining us Wednesdays with Dale Jr. We'll keep getting set for the Brickyard tomorrow on NASCAR America 5 Eastern. Until then,
I'm getting
spin it to win it.